gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Representative Allison Schwartz on the Celebrity Hotline to talk about the budget. Representative Joe Sestak.
That's right.
One of our very favorites to talk about the torture memos and much more. StephanieMiller.com is the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy. Voice deity Jim Warder. Me, Stephanie Miller. We will update you on whether the swine flu has spread overnight. As soon as the president tells us, we'll tell you.
I'm getting regular updates on the situation from the responsible agencies and the Department of Health and Human Services, as well as the Centers for Disease Control will be offering regular updates to the American people.
All right, what you can do to prevent swine flu and all of that as we continue on the big show. Also, the latest on the torture memo controversy,
Look,
Carl
I
Levin.
I think these policies were an abomination. I think the legal opinions were abominable.
All right. Also, if you go to StephanieMiller.com, Shano has done a delightful thing to get Mama her own TV show on the MSNBC. Thank you, Shano. That was to get me the 10 o'clock slot. You know, Chris, not since they tried to make me the Mary Tyler Moore of the 90s. You remember...
Oh, yeah, they did.
Yeah, I think
they?
Somebody pitched that to somebody somewhere. Just one of many dreams that died. But you know what? Dreams can come true. Who is it, Chris?
It's the author of Growing Up Again, Life, Loves, and Oh Yeah, Diabetes, Mary Tyler Moore.
No way! Good morning, Mary Tyler Moore.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm not Mary Tyler Moore, but at least I get to talk to her.
Yeah, hey, how about that?
I was probably one of a billion women that they said, no, really, she's the next Mary Tyler Moore.
Really?
But there's only one.
Oh, thank you, yes, because I don't think the world could take too much of this niceness that I seem to be afflicted with.
You were absolutely one of my heroes. I just loved, I loved everything about you. Everybody wanted to be you.
Oh, God, including me. You know, she was a pretty interesting and charming woman, thanks to the writing of Jim Brooks and Alan Burns, and it's hard to live up to.
I think you brought a little something to the table, Mayor.
Well, I hope so, too.
I think we went so far as to shoot a little thing on the streets of New York. I think I threw my hat in the air and I got tackled and mugged for it.
No.
It was a... sort of a gritty 90s Mary Tyler Moore they were pitching for me. But.
Ah, I see. Well, you have to be careful of what people suggest you do.
Yeah, exactly.
Just don't take all those.
Exactly. Let me tell you one of the highlights of my life, besides right now talking to you. I got to play myself on an episode of Diagnosis Murder.
Oh, really?
Yes, and I got to sit on the set and pester Dick Van Dyke about what it was like to work on the Dick Van Dyke show with you.
Isn't he just the sweetest guy?
He really is. He didn't call security. He sat there with me. He told me every story about what it was like.
Oh, boy. Well, he is a one-of-a-kind person, and
he is.
I will be forever grateful to him for the way he supported me when I started with him as his wife.
Yeah.
He was terrific.
Just still some of the greatest television. I also was able to pester him with my Mary Tyler Moore imitation. Should we get that out of the way now?
No.
Oh, please.
Okay.
Yes, I'd love to hear it.
Oh, Rob, Mr. Grant. Thank you. Thank you, Mary.
Great. I'm putting that in my notebook.
Yeah.
All right. And by the way, I have also pestered Ed Asner with that at various political events here in Los Angeles.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, now, I'm very often asked to do the, oh, Rob, when I speak, and sometimes I give them a bonus. It's
yes.
Mr. Grant.
Listen.
That's pretty good, don't you think?
Yes.
I hate spunk.
Yeah, I've pestered Ed with that so much. He just, every time he sees me, is like, all right, do the Mary impression, and then I do it, and then we get it out of the way. Now, tell me about the book is, of course, getting amazing reviews. Growing Up Again, Life, Loves, and Oh Yeah, Diabetes.
And it's on the bestseller list in the top 10 of the New York Times.
Congratulations.
Oh, that's great.
It is good.
I love the Publisher's Weekly Review. It says, her TV alter ego, Mary Richards, may have been perfect, but it's Moore's imperfections that make her the ideal author of the surprisingly frank memoir. Is it, you know, I know you've been such an activist and an advocate for diabetes research and all that. Was this not uncomfortable personally to share so much?
Not at all. No, I am I'm a very truthful person. Not always very funny, but very truthful. but I think that in our own lives, the good things that we did and the things that we're not so happy about influence people. And the more they know about you, the better. That is assuming that you led a fairly circumspect life.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be so eager to do that if I'd not had the support I had growing up. And that's what the book is, really. It's an autobiography about all kinds of things in my life, not only the diabetes, but the show business and the mother and father and all of those impacts.
Well, I mean, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes those intersect. I mean, there's one part about when your vision went out in the middle of a scene with Lynn Redgrave.
Yes, right. And I was on stage at the time. There are all kinds of surprises that you have to be prepared for.
This was in a live show?
It was on a stage show that went to Broadway. But at this point, we were in an out of town. We were up in Boston, as a matter of fact.
Wow!
And they were able to get me to Dr. Aiello, who is one of the major medical contributors in the whole world, and so he was able to treat me, and he got me back on my feet and seeing clearly. But these kinds
of things...
Wow,
must have been terrifying, though, and plus you can't trust those Redgraves, you know.
But Lynn was so great, and she just put her arm around me and said, okay, come on, let's see what we have to do now. Where are you going? What did we go
wow.
to? She's a really good friend.
Yeah. Oh no. She's. I've met her. She's lovely. Mary, when did you first start feeling symptoms, and what was that like? And tell us about treatment.
Well, it was about 40 years ago that I was pregnant.
Wow.
And I was about 3 or 4 months, and I had a miscarriage, and went into the hospital to take care of that, and they took my blood as a routine measure, and the blood sugar level of a normal healthy person is going to register as anything between 70 and 110. Mine was 750.
Oh, wow.
Yikes.
And they didn't know how I was still alive and walking and breathing and talking. Stayed in the hospital for a couple of days, and they schooled me in what the meaning of diabetes really is when it's you who has it. And the reason I wrote this book was because the editor of one of the top editors at St. Martin's Press has a daughter who's a diabetic and who was going off to college, and she said to him just sort of in an offhand way, boy, I wish I had somebody who's done this who could just tell me what it's like and what to expect and so on. She had read every book that exists, all the how-tos, and so he called me, her father, and said, would you be interested in taking this on, just writing a book that is not a manual, but just a diary of where you've been and what happened and what effect it has had on you. So I started out. I just started putting down things that I thought were funny, that were important, that were sad, that were everything I could think of.
Mary, how did this affect you? I mean, you had it back as early as the Dick Van Dyke Show?
Actually, it was between the Dick Van Dyke Show and the Mary Show.
But how did it affect you on the set of the Mary Tyler Moore Show? Had you learned to manage it well by that time? Were there a lot of incidents during the filming of that were difficult for you?
Well, there were a lot of things that were not yet regularly achieved. Talking about knowing how much insulin to take and how much exercise to get and balancing all that, what food I was eating. But I have always been I'll worry about that when I have to kind of person. And right now I'm here to work. Right now I'm doing this scene. Right now I'm doing this scene with Betty White.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of put those things in perspective. If it isn't helping right now, then don't dwell in it.
Yep. You know, isn't that interesting? I'm just thinking as you're talking that, you know, because I know Betty, I've worked with her. I'm a big, you know, animal rights person like she is, an animal rescue person. And, of course, I've done a lot of, you know, political events out here with Ed Asner. It's interesting you guys have all become activists of some sort.
Well, I think you have to. I think it's a very natural thing when you are relatively intelligent. That doesn't mean you're not also stupid. But anyway, you have a certain amount of knowledge and you want to share it.
Yep.
And
here's something you may not know. Betty White had me spayed, which I think was probably for the best for everybody.
And you weren't aware of it at the time, right?
No, I was not. She's sneaky. But I would have given anything to be on the set in between takes of that show. That's a bunch of smart, funny people sitting around.
Oh, Lord, it was. It was indeed. And we still are when there is something that gathers us all together again. We fall right into the routines, the psychology that emerged from being together.
Listen, I will pester Ed Asner to within an inch of his life to get invited to that next gathering.
You come pester me.
All right. Mary Tyler Moore is the woman. The book is Growing Up Again, Life, Loves, and Oh Yeah, Diabetes. Mary, really, it was an honor to meet you, truly.
Well, Stephanie, thank you for doing the questioning so artfully. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Okay. Thank you so much, Mary.
Thank you.
All right, good luck. There she goes, Mary Tyler Moore. I just got to talk to Mary Tyler Moore.
Mary Tyler frickin' Moore.
Mary Tyler Moore from Mary Tyler Moore.
You two knew you were not going to... without that.
I had my head buried in my hands over here when you did that.
Come on, play the theme song again. It's Mary. We all want it to be Mary. Oh.
I could only find the first season theme, though.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Not the same as the other seasons.
How will you make it on
Yeah, the TV executives at the time.
Computer says love.
No, she's not the Mary Tyler Moore of the 90s or any decade. No.
No.
Nice try.
But you had a guest spot on Carol Leifer's sitcom.
Yes, I did. Hmm. Where I believe my one famous sitcom line was Bone King. Thank you.
Yes, it was.
I don't even remember what that referred to.
The name of the show was All Right Already, wasn't it?
It was a fabulous show.
On the WB.
As is Carol Leifer.
Yes, she is. She's awesome.
Fabulous, fabulous. All right. The president closely monitoring the swine flu situation. President Obama yesterday.
We are closely monitoring the emerging cases of swine flu in the United States. And this is obviously a cause for concern and requires a heightened state of alert. But it's not a cause for alarm. The Department of Health and Human Services has declared a public health emergency as a precautionary tool to ensure that we have the resources we need at our disposal to respond quickly and effectively.
The Associated Press story on swine flu, calm words, quick action. Let's play compare and contrast to President Bush and, well, anything. Let's pick Hurricane Katrina, shall we?
Total paralysis.
Getting out ahead of
and
something.
Then a photo op. Yeah.
Exactly.
And cruelly letting people think that the lights have been switched back on when it was just for that photo op.
Whew. Has the outbreak of swine flu spread overnight? We will tell you that and much more as we continue 20 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This whole place just feels like a warm blanket.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. The latest on the swine flu. A new virus has killed up to 149 people in Mexico. And the WHO raised its pandemic alert level to phase 4? Can Roger Daltrey do that alone? Or must it be in consultation with Pete Townsend as well?
Well, it couldn't be in consultation with Keith Moon because...
No.
Keith Moon is no longer with us.
No, he was not asked.
No.
Perhaps it was swine flu. Keith Moon.
No. That could be.
Okay.
No, it was a swimming
the
pool.
The WHO raised its alert level, Jim DeFore. You weren't here yet, but that's a whole bit we had set up.
Oh.
Okay. So it's they moved closer on Monday to declaring its first flu pandemic in 40 years as more people were infected in the U.S. and Europe. So four, I believe six, this is a medical term, Jim, you said six means we're pretty much
screwed.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, four's bad, five, we're getting serious, and then six, we're
six is the stand.
Yes. So it's,
yeah.
That's, yeah.
The last such outbreak, a Hong Kong flu pandemic in 1968, killed about 1 million people.
Oof. Wow. I remember that one.
In Mexico City, fearful... why do I think this is going to be in Bill Maher's next film? In Mexico City, fearful Christians paraded a centuries-old statue of Jesus, believed to protect against disease, through the streets for the first time in more than a century. The swine flu, by the way, not caught from eating pork, but several countries have imposed import bans on pork from the U.S. Oh, that's good, because our economy is already in good shape. Oh, boy. Stocks and companies such as airlines were also hit as investors worried about the impact on travel, obviously. Janet Napolitano, Homeland Security Secretary, yesterday.
They encourage individuals to avoid any non-essential travel to Mexico for the time being. You may ask, how long will the alerts be operative? And the answer is, we don't know.
Oh, boy. Yes. So on Monday, as of Monday afternoon, yesterday afternoon, more than 1,600 people in 17 states across Mexico were believed to have been sickened with the virus. As we reported yesterday, officials in Mexico City had already canceled hundreds of public events, closed many public venues. They've urged people with possible symptoms, which, by the way, that was my first thought. What are those? Because, you know, Jim, you get everything. That whenever we run like an ad for something, you get all the symptoms in there. You remember your ectopic pregnancy.
Yes.
That was bad.
Yeah, couldn't come in because of that.
Headache, cough, sore throat, nausea, fever, dizziness to stay home.
It's basically the flu.
Yeah.
Yes, well, that's what I wondered, if there was some kind of different symptoms.
Like you start oinking or something, or when you sneeze, your tail curls up.
Yeah, that's just silly now. This is serious business.
Okay, sorry.
Are you making pig jokes?
Okay. Why would I do that, Ms. Miller?
Okay. So, yeah, the Center for Disease Control recommending Americans forego all non-essential travel to Mexico. The agency reported the number of confirmed cases in the U.S. had doubled, rising from 20 to 40. Among the 40 is that cluster of 28 students at a high school in New York City, where officials suspect at least 17 additional students may have been infected. They were just in Mexico for spring break.
Yep. Mm.
Oh boy.
And not all of them were in Mexico. Some of them caught it from the students who came back from Mexico and were spreading it around the school.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If you're not feeling well,
stay home.
New York had a rough day, what with that and the flyby.
Yeah.
The plane near the World Trade Center.
That was inexcusable.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
Janet Napolitano again yesterday.
You would close the border if you thought you could contain disease, the spread of disease, but the disease already is in a number of states within the United States.
Yeah, so that's why they're not closing the border.
Yeah. By the by, reviews are in. President Obama, calm words, quick action. President Obama responded to the first domestic emergency of his presidency by reassuring Americans that it was not a cause for alarm, even as the government began urgent steps to respond to the small but rising number of cases. I think that's wise. They're treating it as if it will become a pandemic. You see, that would be sort of planning ahead for a worst-case scenario.
For example,
sort of
thing. Maybe fortifying the levees in the town.
Yes, like should a Category 5 storm of some sort hit somewhere.
Doing it before it happens, because everyone knew it was going to happen eventually.
Yes. People like David Obie of Wisconsin saying, you know, perhaps there should be some funding in this stimulus bill for some sort of pandemic of some sort.
That's crazy.
If that should hit in a bad economy or something crazy like that. Representative Allison Schwartz on whether the budget will pass this week.
That's right.
We'll talk about swine flu, the torture controversy, and much more with her as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
What's the matter with you? Your life's going down the toilet.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. News breaking left and right on the swine flu outbreak, as well as the torture controversy. Meanwhile, House and Senate Dems reached an agreement late last night on a budget resolution for 2010. If only there was something that knew a little something about... Chris, who is it?
Representative Allison Schwartz from the great state of Pennsylvania.
Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning.
Well, how late last night are we talking? And was there drinking afterwards? And are you tired this morning?
Well, I did speak with Mr. Spratt, who's the chairman of the committee, and I did tell him he should take the day off tomorrow when we're really finally finished with this. But and all I could say is he smiled.
Yeah, I bet. So, what happened late last night? You guys finished at least an agreement in the House.
Yeah, well, you know, this is work that's been going on for a couple of weeks now, but particularly over the last 4 or 5 days. And I think what's important here is that we really maintain the broad goals and really embrace the goals that that President Obama set forth in this budget. It's very different than what we've been dealing with for the last 8 years. It's much more fiscally responsible. We really are concerned about the debt, but we know we have to meet our obligations and we have to actually make some real investments in some, you know, critical areas if we're going to be economically competitive and meet the needs of our people. So It's a very different kind of budget. And, of course, the Senate wasn't really pleased with the idea of our using, a little bit of a maneuver, I guess, if you want to call it that, you know, just an ability to actually get health care reform done this year, even if we can't get 60 votes. We'd love to do it in a bipartisan way. We always reach out, Republicans, but they aren't always willing to cooperate.
Yeah, they're not so good at the reaching back.
Exactly.
Congresswoman, you know, my job is to be inflammatory and ridiculous as a talk show host, so you may not want to go this far. But yesterday we were saying that we think God does not like Republicans, because when you had Bobby Jindal mocking volcano monitoring, of course, a huge volcano exploded in Washington State, and now we have the news that, of course, David Obie tried to get in funding for swine flu and the pandemic that should break out, and Republicans essentially killed that in the latest budget.
Good point. But I think that the flu outbreak, the concerns we have, of course, about that, just speak to the fact that all of us rely on government to do its job when we need them. And this is one moment when the Centers for Disease Control and HHS and of course Homeland Security and all of us, you know, really rely on them to make sure that we are doing what we need to do. They give us the right advice.
Well,
and all of that. So it does speak to ways we in fact do need government. And you know, you can rail against it, as of course you're right, Governor Jindal did, and we've seen others, governors do it too.
But Congresswoman,
we want to work with them,
right?
You know,
but Congresswoman, it seems like that's the point of government and of lawmakers, is you're supposed to think ahead a little bit. And so obviously David Obie of Wisconsin said, hey, you know, a pandemic of some sort would be really bad in this economy. You know, maybe we ought to put a little money. And, of course, Republicans, you guys get the same response every time. Everything's pork. Everything that they don't want is, that's ridiculous, and, you know.
And it's an easy thing to say that, you know, we don't need to take any of these actions to protect Americans, but that's also ridiculous. And, of course, we've seen the Republicans, particularly on the House side, basically say no to everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Congresswoman,
they really have other answers here. They're just saying we don't like this, we don't like this, we don't really have any other ideas.
Congresswoman, how does this work, though? I am sure people are, you know, as they're so concerned about this swine flu outbreak, you know, since Republicans killed the funding for that, what would happen? I mean, what would we be able to get? Is declaring the emergency would that free up funds anyway, or how does that work?
It does. I mean, one of the things that I think we saw here, Attorney Napolitano speak to yesterday, is she said one of the reasons you declare it, an emergency on some level is in order to make sure that they can move dollars around, they can address whatever needs to get done during this flu epidemic.
They can basically override what the Republicans did. It seems like they're really getting out ahead of this thing, don't you think?
Oh, I think they're doing a really good job. You know, really, again, we have to be really clear about this, is that this is not a pandemic. This is a flu outbreak that we're concerned about because we know it can spread very quickly. There are treatments for this flu, though, and that's important for people to know. And so they need to, if they have flu-like symptoms, they need to get to their doctors. And mostly they need to have to cough on each other. You know, I mean, it's sometimes I'm sure everyone knows that somebody comes to work really looking like they should stay home. Well, this time they should really stay home.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, my coworkers look for any excuse to stay home, so just not to be with me. But, Dr. Besser said yesterday, I mean, it is just common sense. He advised us to wash our hands frequently, cover coughs and sneezes, stay home if you feel ill. He did stop short of the advice given in Mexico to wear masks and not kiss or touch anybody. Because if I wasn't able to French kiss my dogs, I know that would be a big impact on my life.
But I think we do. I mean, some of this also is good public health reminders. We've been trying to be much more aware of some of that, generally speaking, about degree to which we ought to wash our hands. And, you know, it's interesting. I remember being, this is maybe a little off the subject here, but, you know, when I've been with the military, for example, with our troops in Iraq, I was really struck by how conscientious they are instructing our troops to wash their hands before they eat, to, you know, to, to do what we ought to all be doing. But they realize that when people live so close with each other, you know, that they really need to be much more aware of sort of good public health habits. And some of us get
right. Well, and what all, you know, mothers tell their kids, right, try to avoid touching your eyes and nose and mouth and, you know, just wash your hands. So, right. I mean, a lot of common sense stuff.
Right.
Well, you know, in terms of the budget, though, this must get tiring, these, you know, charges of socialism getting thrown around left and right by because, you know, here's a perfect example, like you say, of the government needs to do some things. And it's not like the president came in wanting to spend this money. He didn't want to inherit this economy, but here we are, right?
Well, I think we're going to hear more of that. I think the Republicans, particularly when we get into the discussion about health care reform, are really going to just throw around this notion of this is socialized medicine.
Mm-hmm.
That's a perfect example. The fact is that the president and what Congress is looking at is a real public-private partnership. You know, it really is continue to use the private marketplace, make some reforms because we think consumers need some protections, they need greater access to private insurance, it needs to be meaningful when they get it. So you can just scare people, but that's not going to be resolving
right.
the problem. It's not going to be meeting the challenge.
Well,
we're going to find a uniquely American solution. This isn't going to be just, although we should learn lessons from our states, we're going to learn some lessons from other countries that have taken action. Every other industrialized nation has taken action.
Yeah.
It's about time we did too.
Well, exactly, Congresswoman. I mean, it just it really is just an outrage, the amount that we spend on health care and how pathetic our health care system is in America. I mean,
well,
it's...
You know, most Americans, many Americans, are both very pleased with their physician. They, you know, when you get to see a doctor and they're, you know, you have that face-to-face, you actually can get really good care. But are you getting good continuous care? Or is there a physician that knows you who can help make judgments with, you know, with you about the kind of care you need? We should do a much better job of a chronic disease management and helping people who have serious illnesses be healthier. We know that we could be more efficient in the way we provide care, and we ought to be, because if we don't do that, then American families are struggling with the high cost of health premiums, and American businesses.
Well, I mean,
you know, are going to struggle because they won't be as economically competitive with these other countries.
Yep.
So.
Well, absolutely. Well, absolutely, Congress. I mean, that's the thing. When you're dealing with, you know, the Republicans who basically become the party of no, I mean, do they really think that our health care system is working the way it is? I mean, everything, you know, we try to do, it's like, no. That's, like you say, socialized medicine. But, I mean, this is what struck me yesterday when I heard about the swine flu outbreak. I thought, oh, my God. You know what I mean? With the state of our healthcare system the way it already is, can you imagine if it becomes a pandemic on top of it? I mean,
well, it's a very good point, is that we need to have our healthcare system also a ready. Certainly, we don't want to talk a lot about the possibility of bioterrorism, but certainly we need to be prepared. You know, we've actually underfunded so many of our public health infrastructure. And when you demean government, you know, how do you attract the best and the brightest to government? How do you attract those scientists and engineers and public health workers even, you know, to do the kind of work that we know we need to get done? That's been our sort of human infrastructure.
Yep. Yep.
And that's also the consequence of the Republicans railing against government, is that you don't really have the expertise when you need it. And that's one of the things we're trying to fix.
Mm-hmm. Congresswoman, let me get your take quickly before you go on the torture controversy. You know, I don't know if you've been watching TV as of late, but, you know, they're quoting Ronald Reagan and Newt Gingrich, who talked about the importance of prosecuting torturers around the world. One of the most, you know, interesting things I read yesterday was international law. You know, the top torture investigator for the UN contends under international law, the U.S. is bound to investigate and punish anyone connected to torture, whether the president wants to or not. What's your take on that?
Well, this is a place where Congress really will weigh in. We are having very serious discussions, both about, as the president has said, the need to not let us be distracted because we have so much work to do, given the economy, given the work we have to do. But at the same time, this was such an that we have to do something about making sure that it isn't just another president can change these rules. It isn't just whether you have the right president or not. These are international rules, making sure that our troops are protected, our people are protected. And that's one of the reasons the Geneva Convention it has to be in use and in power, is that it protects us.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a very strong feeling, and I agree with this, that we need to really look at what is the best way for us to investigate the situation, hold the people accountable when they actually overstepped the bounds of what was acceptable in international law.
Yeah, I was particularly struck by John McCain, who should know better, just, you know, saying, oh, we're not ever going to do it again. Let's just move on.
Oh,
here's
a place where we need John McCain, who has always been willing to stand up and say torture is not acceptable. I would not have done it if I was president. He said that. He wants to hold people accountable. This is one moment where we need him to say, you know what we need? And it may be an independent commission, so it isn't tainted with politics. But here's a time where we need both Republicans and Democrats to say, as Americans,
right, to stand up and say what's American.
Yep. What is American? This was un-American, and we need to really take some action here. It definitely should be both, really be nonpartisan in a way, is the way we should really approach this.
Representative Alison Schwartz, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Absolutely. Good to talk with you.
You too. All right. Bye-bye. There she goes.
Yay!
Taking time from the people's work to come on the Little Fart Joke Show.
So we may actually have a budget this week.
Yay!
Woo-hoo!
Thank God the Republicans stripped out that stuff for pandemic outbreak and stuff like that.
Speaking of which, The Guardian has a little story about the possible origins of the swine flu.
Yes. We'll tell you what that's all about when we continue 44 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I know it's a tad silly, but the crew really likes it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Coming up next hour, Representative Joe Sestak.
Sestak.
Who we love because he kicks Sean Hannity's ass.
That's right.
Quite regularly.
Yes. And did you know that he is the highest ranking military official to ever be elected to Congress?
Of course I know that.
Okay.
Who doesn't know that?
We know it now. And you know who's going to be in studio with us tomorrow in hour three?
Hal Sparks.
That's right.
I love him. Okay. All right. And if you missed the Mary Tyler Moore interview, shame on you.
Yes.
That'll be up on StephanieMiller.com after the show.
It's not like we didn't warn you it was going to be at the beginning of the show.
We told you. Okay, this is the time of the morning when Jim slips me the conspiracy sausage. Jim!
Yeah. According to The Guardian, you can get it online at guardian.co.uk, the source of the outbreak seems to be a little town called La Gloria in the Mexican state of Veracruz, where kids have been getting sick since February, and two babies died in March, and they sent a sample to the States to be tested. It tested positive for swine flu. What could be happening in this little town of La Gloria? Well, 12 miles from there is an U.S. industrial pig production facility.
Oh.
Owned by Virginia-based Smithfield, and said they're cooperating with authorities based on the information. Smithfield has no reason to believe the virus is in any way connected, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Well, Smithfield, it turns out, in October of 2000, was sued by the Environmental Protection Agency to the tune of $12.6 million. They found the company had been violated its pollution permits by dumping fecal and other bodily waste from slaughtered pigs into the Pagan River, which runs into Chesapeake Bay. They've been doing that since the 1970s. What's happening at this pig facility down there in La Gloria, or near La Gloria? Well, according to the state agents of the Mexican Social Security Institute, they have waste lagoons into which they spew tons of excrement.
Blah! This is all according to The Guardian.
Yes. So now there's no proof that the virus got into the groundwater and sickened these people, but it's something that bears looking into, I think. Could be why they actually moved the operation to Mexico, because there's no EPA there.
Well, yeah.
Interesting.
And The Guardian isn't like some you know, wacko.
Wow,
it's not a tabloid.
Yes, it's a major newspaper in the UK. So.
It's not like a tabloid that reported that silly rumor about the President Bush and Condoleezza Rice.
What did they report like about
they
President
were
Bush?
They were sleeping together.
The Globe.
The White House says President Obama has shown no symptoms of swine flu. His health was never in danger when he visited Mexico earlier this month. The White House spokesman said doctors are satisfied. There's no medical concern for the president.
Okay.
All right. Because, Jim, you were thinking yesterday that was a conspiracy sausage. Maybe somebody. That's
maybe.
How they were going to take him out. Huh?
No.
Compute says
he'd have to be the president in a bubble, you know, if that were those kind of things.
Exactly. Concerned the world could be on the brink of the first influenza pandemic in more than 40 years, escalated as France, Hong Kong, New Zealand, and Spain reported new potential cases in which people have been infected, and Canada confirmed several new cases. The WHO is referring to the situation as a public health emergency of international concern.
You can't play that whole song on the air. You know that.
This is the
on-air version.
Okay.
The apparent emergence in several countries of an entirely new strain of flu virus has led some scientists to believe that it's only a matter of time before the WHO declares a pandemic status, a move that could prompt travel
Roger
bans
Daltrey
to infected
care?
Countries. Hey, listen, we're down a Health and Human Services director. There you go.
Might as well have Roger Daltrey in there.
CDC director, Pete Townsend. Listen, you know what? We're problem solvers here at the Stephanie Miller Show.
I think you're referring to the World Health Organization.
Oh, never mind.
They're not talking about their generation.
I understand.
They're talking about.
No.
Disease generation.
Apparently, we aren't going to have a generation because we're all going to be dead of swine flu soon. But the U.S., getting out ahead of a problem.
What?
U.S. responding as if swine flu will be a pandemic. You see, just as an excess
of caution.
A caution, yes. Janet Napolitano.
We are proceeding as if we are preparatory to a full pandemic. We don't know that a pandemic actually will occur, but because we want to make sure that we have equipment where it needs to be, people where they need to be.
The president yesterday said that there's reason for concern, but not yet a cause for alarm. Just in case, though, administration officials say they're already waging a vigorous campaign of prevention, unsure of the outbreak's severity or where it would show up next. Dr. Richard Besser, he's the acting CDC director.
There's no single action that will control an outbreak, but the combined actions that we are proposing and that are being undertaken around the country will help to stem the tide of any infectious disease outbreak, and this one in particular.
I think, as we mentioned, the WHO raised the severity of the pandemic level from 4 to 3, and it's a 6-point scale, just so you're knowing where we're at. Level 4 means there is sustained human-to-human spread in at least one country. Level 6 is a full-fledged pandemic, an epidemic that
but
has spread to wide...
To 11.
We will ask Pete Townsend whether this can actually go to 11. Maybe just for this, it could go to 11. It normally goes to 6. We're at 4, but we could turn it up to 11.
Maybe that's what caused them to go deaf. Swine flu.
The WHO, notoriously loud. Okay, Dr. Richard Besser again.
Thankfully, so far, we've not seen severe disease in this country. We are only aware of one individual who was hospitalized, and all people who've been infected and were sick have recovered.
That's true. The strain that's here in the United States doesn't seem to be as strong.
I asked the CNN's chief medical correspondent that yesterday, why people are, you know, why it doesn't seem to be as strong here. And she said that was a really good question, which was completely an accident in every way. I have no idea.
Well,
I just pulled that out of my ass.
It also could
But he said that's what the CDC is asking, is why is it milder here? Why are people dying in Mexico not here yet?
It also could be because, you know, maybe sanitary conditions are maybe a little better here than they are in Mexico City. And also we may have somewhat better health care here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dr. Besser, he got a little creepy, though, at one point. Did you see? He said, I wouldn't be necessarily reassured by that.
I didn't hear him say that.
But nobody's died here.
Yet.
Yet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord.
Yikes.
Okay. Huh.
I guess that's doctors' jobs to be creepy.
It's important that individuals realize they have a key role to play in reducing their own likelihood of getting infected. Frequent hand washing, covering your cough or your sneeze, that's very important. And if you're sick, if you have a fever and you're sick and your children are sick, don't go to work and don't go to school.
Sanchez and Montebello, hola, que tal? Adios, mi amigo.
Here's a special announcement from Patron Reposado. We at Patron are concerned for the health and well-being of all our Patron patrons. That's why the scientists at our Patron Reposado laboratories have developed the new Patron Reposado Swine Flu Tequila Shots. Who needs Tamiflu shots when you can be healthy and happy with a double shot of Patron Reposado Swine Flu Tequila Shots coming soon to a bar or liquor store near you?
Sanchez, you're going to have to wait for your Rumsfeld conspiracy till after the break, all right?
Okie dokie.
Your opening bit was just too good.
Yes.
We had to break it into little snossages. All right. Yes, he's going to tell us who would benefit from Tamiflu flying
maybe
off the shelves.
Patrons.
Patrons. 57 minutes after the hour. Back with that tinsel talk and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere to join the party. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, hey, let's all say a big thank you to Republican Senator Susan Collins, who had such foresight on old things like swine flu.
It doesn't make sense to include $870 million. For pandemic flu preparedness.
Crazy.
Again, an issue that I care deeply about because of my role on the Homeland Security Committee.
Okay, wow, that's the kind of forward thinking we're getting from Republicans these days.
Yeah, that was back during the stimulus debate. Thanks,
and
Susan.
Thank you. And let's also thank Republican Senator John McCain, who you'd think might know a little something about torture, we need to move on now.
Maybe there's an element of settling old political scores here. We need to put this behind us. We need to move forward.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't put it behind you until you know the extent of the problem.
Right.
Thank you. Representative Joe Sestak from the great state of Pennsylvania coming up on the Celebrity Hotline to talk about all the top stories of the day. In the meantime, Jeff in LeClaire, Iowa. Oh, dear, this is creepy stuff. Gay marriage has been legal in Iowa for a whole day now, and just as Fox News predicted, traditional marriage has all but ceased to exist here. The sinister influence of the gay agenda is spreading through Iowa faster than anyone thought possible. I myself was accosted by a young man who asked directions to the nearest Bed Bath and Beyond. Though it may sound harmless, I could read between the lines and tell what he really wanted. I was fortunate that I managed to get away before he showed me how to pick out throw pillows that complement my living room decor. A few Iowans are building gay shelters in their backyards where they can be safe from the gay influence, while children in some schools have been learning how to duck and cover when they hear the gay warning siren go off.
Which is, do you believe you will have it?
Yes, the gay warning siren. I believe the early warning siren is a Cher song.
Oh, do you believe in love?
That's when you know to tell the kids to get in the gay root cellar. So far, my wife and I are still happily married, but we fear it's only a matter of time before we, too, fall victim to the gay menace. Jeff and LeClaire. LeClaire, Iowa. LeClaire. It's LeClaire now. It'll be LeClaire soon.
Yes. With the pandemic of gay marriage spreading
exactly.
All throughout Iowa.
Exactly. With the gay cloud and the gay storm. The gathering gay storm.
The gathering storm of uplighting.
Yeah.
And throw pillows. And
Christopher Lowell blinds.
All right. Updating us with all the creepy news.
I don't think any
Iowa.
Gay person would be caught dead with Christopher Lowell blinds.
Actually, they were in my house.
Really?
The previous
okay.
occupants.
All right.
They're really nice,
the quote for today, Jim, is on the other top story of the day. Who said when the Obama administration said it declassified 4 new torture memos 10 days ago in part because their contents were already largely public, it was right? Yet we still shrink from the hardest truths in the bigger picture, that torture was a premeditated policy approved at our government's highest levels, that it was carried out in scenarios that had no resemblance to 24, that psychologists and physicians were enlisted as collaborators in inflicting pain, and that in the assessment of reliable sources like FBI Director Robert Mueller, it did not help disrupt any terrorist attacks. Who said that?
Rip Taylor.
Good guess, but no. Frank Rich did another humdinger entitled The Banality of Bush White House Evil. Jim. Ooh, said, 5 years after the Abu Ghraib revelations, we must acknowledge that our government methodically authorized torture and lied about it. But we must also contemplate the possibility that it did so not just out of a sincere, if criminally misguided, desire to protect us, but also to promote an unnecessary and catastrophic war. Instead of saving us from, quote, another 9/11, torture was a tool in the campaign to falsify and exploit 9/11 so that fearful Americans would be bamboozled into a mission that had nothing to do with Al-Qaeda. The lying about Iraq remains the original sin from which flows much of the Bush White House's illegality. Who said that?
Rip Torn.
No, ripped from a page of the New York Times. It's Frank Rich.
Hey!
And yet another humdinger. All right, Jim, one last one. President Obama can talk all he wants about not looking back, but this grotesque past is bigger than even he is. It won't vanish into a memory hole any more than Andersonville, World War II internment camps, or My Lai. The White House, Congress, and politicians of both parties should get out of the way. We don't need another commission. We don't need any Capitol Hill witch hunts. What we must have are fair trials that at long last uphold and reclaim our commitments, nation's commitment to the rule of law. Who said that?
Rodney Allen Rippey.
No. Frank Rich.
Nobody
and,
knew Rip.
Yet another. Fabulous. All right, before the prague, Sanchez in Montebello, hola, que tal, was on a swine flu, Tamiflu conspiracy. Hello, Sanchez.
Buenos dias, mamacita.
Yes.
I'm going to go slow here because there's a lot of dots to connect.
Okay.
But first of all, did any of you, this is something that we discussed last year, did any of you ever see Taxi to the Dark Side?
Did not.
Okay, no. The documentary that connects, it makes a very compelling case that connects Donald Rumsfeld and Justice Department Attorney John Yoo together, and they crafted this policy that prized confessions at the expense of intelligence and morality. And basically, you know, in this documentary, you see Donald Rumsfeld's initials besides there. It's plain to see that besides Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld, the people that we were discussing, as a matter of fact, last week, going and prosecuting the people at the top. Now, that would include Donald Rumsfeld. And Tom Harkin this morning was on the Bill Press show. Mm-hmm. Tom Harkin, the senator from Iowa, chairs the Senate Appropriations Subcommittee that's going to be funding additional funds for pandemic preparedness. They're going to be asking for more stockpiles of Tamiflu shots.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yesterday, I'm going to join Jim here in the conspiracy corner, so let's all get comfy and cozy here.
Okay, then.
Because Jim connected the dot yesterday. Who owns stock in Tamiflu?
Donald Rumsfeld.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And so the whole thing comes around to this point that we were getting so close to revealing and getting towards the torture memos and who is ultimately responsible for all this. And as Frank Rich just said, dangle another emergency, another 9/11 type event in front of the sheeple to scare them and to get them distracted so that torture goes magically away, disappears, as well as everything else. So,
all right,
that is basically it in a nutshell.
All right.
I can go deeper, but
thank you, baby.
Yep, you're
all
welcome.
All right, thank you. That was brought to you by Patron Tequila
Reposado
Swine Flu version. Okay, let's check some other news we don't want to lose, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Yippee! It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
You know the thing I like about that, Chris?
What?
It magically connects the two top stories of the day.
Torture and
swine flu. Okay.
I suppose it does.
All right. Our top story, one of President Barack Obama's official planes flanked by an Air Force fighter flew low over the Statue of Liberty on Monday. God, for a photo opportunity that clearly reminded startled New Yorkers of the September 11th
being
attack.
Being chased by an F-16.
Yeah. The White House military office apologized for the mission, which infuriated New York City officials and prompted hundreds of financial professionals to flee their office buildings. New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg criticized the federal government and his own administration for failing to warn the public.
That would have been a good thing to do.
Luis Caldera, the director of the White House military office, said in a statement he approved the mission and took responsibility for the decision. While federal officials took the proper steps to notify state and local authorities in New York and New Jersey, it's clear the mission created confusion and disruption. I apologize and take responsibility for any distress.
If the White House notified the city and state, why didn't the city and state notify the people?
That's what I don't
know. Why didn't they put out ads in the New York Times and billboards and
even
Times
on Channel
Square,
7 News at night or something.
Something. All right, we have the president on this.
My fellow Americans, it has come to my attention that a Defense Department photo opportunity went horribly awry yesterday when a 747 that is sometimes used as Air Force One was spotted repeatedly circling lower Manhattan, followed by a fighter jet. Naturally, this was cause for great concern for New Yorkers who watched it take place. And by great concern, I mean the mass crapping of drawers. I regret this deeply. The traumatized inhabitants of our greatest city deserve better. At least a heads-up yo would have been deeply appreciated, I'm sure. Right now, I emulate John F. Kennedy when he pledged solidarity with the people of Berlin when I say, Ich bin ein freaking New Yorker. You got a problem with that? I was elected with a mandate to make government work, and accordingly I hereby announce an emergency relief program for our beleaguered Big Apples. I am directing FEMA to open an office in Battery Park. Any New Yorker who delivers a pair of soiled undergarments will receive a new pair on the spot, with a voucher for 2 Sabret's hot dogs and a shot and a beer redeemable at any Blarney Stone in the city. In the meantime, I say to my East Coast brothers and sisters to take heart and wipe your can. Wipe your can. Wipe your can.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I heard the president was furious.
As well, yeah, he should
what
be.
I'm told. And finally, the headline is, church giving sermons entitled Great Sex for You May Need to Find a New Home.
Oh, no!
In Florida, church giving sermons about sex may have to find a new home. Brevard Public School District's Risk Management Department has threatened to boot New Hope Church out of Sherwood Elementary School because of a worship series entitled Great Sex for You. Church leaders mailed 25,000 flyers asking residents, is your sex life a bore? The 3-week program kicked off inside the school auditorium. No. Who do we have on this?
We have God, actually.
Oh, yes, God has a comment.
Me almighty. I'm more convinced than ever I was sick with a swine flu when I created these human bozos. Here's the latest on the uptidal meter. This church has been speaking out on behalf of great sex. Is going to have to move because the neighbors think it's not appropriate. Holy me. Here I thought because this church was rocking and rolling on my favorite subject, there was some hope the wowzers would let their hair and their pants down for a change. Swear to me, I read these jerks wrong every time. Hey, you blue noses, you ever stop to think what I gave you tight asses for? Well, there's a hint. It wasn't so you could pinch off any joy that could come your way for reasons it strains my omniscience to figure out. And inappropriate? Because there are kids around? It's the me honest truth. If you could peek into your little kitty's mind while he or she is playing with their peers, you'd be screaming, oh my freaking me! And to me, it's pretty steamy in there, so don't beat them to a pulp and say, wait till you're older and a dried-up prude like me. Tell them what it's about. They're going to learn up here in heaven anyway, and believe me, they'll make up for lost time while cursing your name. A word from on high, right? Good me, you people are lame. Maybe I should have given dolphins opposable thumbs instead. Oh well, next planet.
Too late now. Yeah. That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward falderall.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True, for which there's a tile ad on the Stephanie Miller website,
yep.
StephanieMiller.com. And buy the album. When you do, you get the extended play dance mix version of It's a Wonderful Life. And there's some new content in it.
Starring George W. Bush.
Yes.
For the last time ever. Thank God.
Is it remixed by Paul Oakenfold? Armand Van Helden? Sorry.
Is the government's response to the swine flu epidemic hampered by not having, let's just say, anybody at the head of the Health and Human Services or the CDC?
Maybe. Who could be responsible for that?
We'll find out what the White House has to say about that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Holy crap!
We'll have more on these new developments after this.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Jim in Greenville, South Carolina on the swine flu outbreak. Hey, Jim.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to compliment Chris today on the way that he got Jim mic'd up inside of his chemical suit. There,
yeah.
He's not muffled. He's no echo.
It took
nothing.
Some doing, but I'm a pro.
Listen, it's hard for us to carry, you know, any ads that's for any medication because Jim gets every symptom in the ads.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm surprised you haven't come down with swine flu yet, Jim.
Mm. We're saying that's why he was out Friday. That's what it was.
That's what it was.
Okay. Dr. Richard Besser, acting CDC director yesterday.
It's important that individuals realize they have a key role to play in reducing their own likelihood of getting infected. Frequent hand washing, covering your cough or your sneeze, that's very important. And if you're sick, if you have a fever and you're sick and your children are sick, don't go to work and don't go to school.
All right. He also talked about the it not being identified.
Good news
yet.
Is that we haven't identified it in additional states, but I wouldn't put too much on that. Over the course of the next week or two, we'll know a lot more about disease transmission. Oof. And how this may go.
And overnight, it was discovered in New Zealand and Israel. Mm-hmm.
He, by the way, is the acting CDC director, which means...
We don't have a real one.
Oh, we don't have one yet, or a Surgeon General, or a Secretary of Health and Human Services. Why is that, Jim?
Because the Republicans are blocking.
Yeah.
Although.
Kathleen Sebelius, Governor of Kansas.
Yes, it looks like the Senate is going to vote on her today, and she will probably get the 60 votes necessary, but it's going to be a squeaker.
God.
Yep.
Morons.
They need a pandemic to get a little,
God.
Something under their a little burr in their butt. Mm-hmm. Okay. Dr. Besser says he...
The lack of a Secretary of Health has not in any way led to diminished activity in our department on approaching this problem.
Robert Gibbs, White House Press Secretary, echoed that yesterday.
This, our response is in no way hindered or hampered by not having a permanent secretary at HHS right now.
Well, because the Health and Human Services Department is filled with career, civil servants,
yeah, well,
so they know
and,
what they're doing.
And the whole Obama administration obviously has gotten out ahead of this. They're treating this as if it already has become a pandemic, which I think
right.
is, err on the side of caution. One of the things alarming people that have died already in Mexico were between 20 and 50 years of age, an ominous sign because the hallmark of past pandemics has been the high rate of fatalities among healthy young adults.
Mm-hmm.
Worldwide, seasonal flu kills between 250,000 and 500,000 people in an average year, but the new strain worries experts because it spreads rapidly between humans and there is vaccine for it. The World Health Organization director.
The director general has decided on the following issues. One, that the pandemic phase alert should increase from phase 3 to phase 4.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it only goes up to 6, as we speculated earlier. The WHO, even though it is the WHO, it does. You can't turn it up to 11. It only goes to 6. But 4 is bad. 5 is. As Jim said, 6 is officially weird.
Yeah, and 7, you turn into a Stephen King novel.
Yes.
Yes.
There is no 7. Okay. By the way, Senator Schumer, Susan Collins was the one that fought to get the pandemic, the money for flu pandemics taken out because that was crazy pork, as you know. But Senator Chuck Schumer gets
caved.
A wah-wah award as well.
Mm-hmm. All those little porky things that the House put in the bill, the money for the mall or sexually transmitted diseases or the flu pandemic, they're all out.
Ironically, the swine flu... was described as being porky.
Yeah.
Well, Jim,
you see, that's
because,
funny.
Oh, if only they knew how funny. And even funnier, if it becomes a full-on pandemic, then it'll be really funny. Jim, this is what you say. Since we're getting no cooperation at all from Republicans, why do they cave? Why do they keep caving? That's the problem. Then they take out stuff that we actually need. Jeff Birnbaum on the Brit Baer show. On the...
I think that there's some element of the Obama administration not allowing a crisis to go unused, to paraphrase Rahm Emanuel. I think this a president likes nothing better than to have a crisis that may not actually be a crisis, but look like he's in charge. And this certainly helps, I think, Janet Napolitano, the Homeland Security Secretary, who needs a little refreshing of her reputation because of problems that she had with the report about returning veterans.
So he created swine flu. Good. All right, right back with Representative Joe Sestak next.
Four out of five top Hollywood movie stars use
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Well, the torture debate obviously just heating up more and more by the day. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to chime in on all that. We played John McCain saying we need to just move on. And you'd think he would know better. If only there was somebody that knew better, that had some military experience. Who is it, Chris?
Representative Joe Sestak from the great state of Pennsylvania.
One of our personal favorites. Fresh from another Sean Hannity ass-kicking, I imagine. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
I am fine. I don't know if people know, but you are a former three-star admiral and the highest-ranking former military officer ever elected to Congress.
Yes, I am.
Well, I know you knew that, but...
but in my bones, I'm a sailor.
Yeah, you were the first director of Deep Blue, the Navy anti-terrorism unit formed in response to 9/11.
That's right. I actually took that over right after 9/11 and actually went on the ground for a short period of time when I was over there. Actually saw some of our initial detainees came out and then took my carrier battle group back for some of the strikes we did.
Wow, amazing. Now, I wanted to talk to someone that, you know, has military background as well on this whole torture debate. What is your take on it, Congressman?
First of all, I believe that any public official, much like I did in the U.S. military, are responsible of conducting themselves within the rules of law. And then I'm held accountable for my actions. And I believe that accountability is something that is absolutely at a nadir right now. Whether it's on Wall Street, post-Katrina, post-Iraq, mm-hmm. where's the accountability? Mm-hmm. And I don't mean accountability to punish, but also to learn and to have transparency. So what I honestly do believe is that President Obama, I think, has it generally right. But the problem we have now, Stephanie, is who holds it accountable? And you know as well as I that right now Congress is not able to set up a committee like the Church Committee, mm-hmm. where you could have a Mondale and a Goldwater sit on that committee, and they were titans at the time. And in a bipartisan way, after the CIA abuses of the early 70s, where there were assassinations attempts, came up and established the intelligence committees and other good methods. We probably need here to go and the executive branch handed over, including parts of the Justice Department. You could ask Senator Stevens on that, where Mr. Holder actually had to say, boy, this doesn't conduct it well. It has to earn back its credibility. So I honestly think we need to go to the third branch of government, get some retired judges or something, and put them out there. Mm-hmm. Put them in charge of a panel of some sort where you can give them immunity to people to come forward. If there is a crime, it should be turned over.
That's what Senator Levin has been talking about as well, correct?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So why do we want to do this? Because I think we need to do it to learn. How can we prevent such an occurrence mm-hmm. from happening again if it was wrongly done? And I mean Congress, too. What do we know that we should have acted on?
Congressman, you know, interesting, you bring up Goldwater. You know, my dad ran with Barry Goldwater in 64, but, you know, my dad was also an assistant prosecutor at Nuremberg, and I mention this all the time recently because of this, because I just can't imagine that they would look at this and condone this. You know, I realize now why a lot of the Goldwater family are not John McCain fans. You know, I mean, honestly, this is not to just sit there and say, oh, we need to move on and, oh, nobody will ever do this again. That's not how international law works, Congressman.
No, it isn't. And, you know, we actually have a social compact, with our soldiers. For example, if we are tortured overseas, we signed up to the international law, the Geneva Conventions, that we will not permit our people to torture, but we will actually sue other countries if they torture our soldiers. Oh, by the way, the Bush administration actually, for 18 soldiers who did do that in the first Gulf War, they actually vetoed the defense authorization bill to prevent that from happening. Let me set that aside, however. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting twist in all this. My take on it is, in the military, when we have an aircraft crash, we actually look to see if anything egregious was done. A court-martial can be held for that if there is some criminal activity. But at the same time, we give immunity to everyone in a parallel investigation to say, what is it we can learn from this so we can prevent it again? And that's what we need to do. We prosecuted this during the Philippines, you know, and,
that's right.
and after
Congressman,
World War II.
I've been reading quotes from Ronald Reagan and Newt Gingrich in the past on how torturers must be prosecuted. You know, the top torture investigator for the UN says that under international law, the U.S. is bound to investigate and punish anyone connected to torture, whether the president wants to or not. not. What's your take on that?
Yes, my take on it is I've read the Geneva Convention. I read it on this other instance I was telling you about where our soldiers were tortured over there in Iraq, in the first Gulf War. And, you could, in some cases, read it one way or not. No, the weight of evidence is there that under torture, if it is done torture and is defined as torture, then that can be prosecuted. But I am very taken, though, that we don't want one administration to even be perceived as it's going against another administration's and starting to criminalize what could have been a normal, authorized decision-making in a decision-making process. Therefore, it's important, I think, Stephanie, that this is given to either a retired panel of judges that can redo that, and those people get immunity to come before it, or if there is a crime and the Justice Department sees it, it's handed to a court, the third branch of government, mm-hmm. to do it. I think it's very important. It doesn't even smack of a witch hunt.
Yeah. I mean, but to me, Congressman, and I'm just a layperson, but, you remember George Bush sitting there saying, we don't torture. Well, now we have evidence absolutely to the contrary. We absolutely ordered waterboarding. In what universe is waterboarding not torture? We said it was when Japanese soldiers did it to us. We executed them for it in World War II.
See, that's the key question here is, people can differ if they want on what they personally want to define as torture. But the law and the adherence to the law, the definition of torture, has been historically that, for this one example that you gave, waterboarding is torture. I think we have to learn. Why did the definition of torture change on this? And this is important, Stephanie, because I want to try to be one that says, wait a moment, let's have a court determine if a mm-hmm. crime was mm-hmm. broken. I mean, there is enough compellence here among many to say, wait a minute, we're very uncomfortable that those who designed this, we're not talking about the CIA. They were given a memo that said, execute this.
Yeah.
And to some degree, when you're out there fighting a war, whether you're a CIA military, you have to have faith in your leadership that they handed you this, that this is true. On the other hand, those who designed it, if there is enough evidence after review, which is ongoing in the ethics office, that then you hand this, if it's a crime, determining crime, to the court, or if it isn't crime, but ethically they did stuff that looked like for a wrong purpose, you could hand it to the state for disbarment mm-hmm. and all. But
well,
it's got to be done in the right process.
Right. Well, Congressman, when Dianne Feinstein has said, and the president has said, let's let the Senate finish their mm-hmm. work, but would it be the Justice Department that would order this panel that you're talking about?
No, I think it should be. That's a great question, because how it's established is also important. I think it'd have to be a I think just waiting for the Senate Intelligence Committee report out is not the right answer. I believe that this executive branch and the Congress has to work together in the most bipartisan way possible to find the right panel of heavyweights. Who have been judges before.
So what is the
judges,
but
recognized like Sam Nunes of the world?
But Congressman, when the president said this is the purview of the Justice Department, what does that mean? What should the Justice Department do?
In this case, what he's talking about, he doesn't believe I'm going to say this should be a, he's left it open for a while, a panel of some sort. I want it because in the military we had one to say, look, what can we learn from it so it doesn't happen again? Because there has to be public accountability also. And by that I mean, we're elected. We in Congress, let me just take that. Somehow people over here were told about this. We should be held accountable by having it be transparent to the public of who knew what and when and how can we fix it. That's one type of accountability. What the president's talking about is the Justice Department, in its review of the ongoing investigation, if it sees that it believes assessment a crime has been conducted, then that's handed over by the Justice Department to a court system.
Okay.
And they then follow it up. Two different things.
Okay.
One is if a crime is determined to be made or is thought to have been done by what I believe it should be normally, the Justice Department, it's handed to the court. That is then where we determine right or wrong in a court system, not Congress, not the executive branch. Second, We have to come together in a panel that we might learn from. Give complete immunity to anybody who comes before the panel to learn. What did Congress know? What did the executive branch mm-hmm. know? Why did we change this? Are there lessons to be learned? There's lessons to be learned yep. from everything, just like the church committee did, but that was a congressional one.
Yep.
And we aren't credible enough in Congress to do it from here.
Congressman, as a former three-star admiral, I have to get your take before you go on the Somali pirate situation, which, you know, in my estimation, the president couldn't have handled any better, and of course was still criticized by the right wing. I think you had one of the sailors involved, and they criticized Rush Limbaugh for trying to make it into a racial incident. Did you hear about all this?
I did not hear about that latter.
Yeah.
Rush Limbaugh said, oh, can you imagine if a white president had ordered the killing of three black teenagers? On the referring to the Somali pirates.
That comment is below comments.
Yes. Exactly. Yes. This is what one of the sailors involved said.
Let me tell you, the president, as commander-in-chief, deserves a lot of credit.
Yes.
He ensured that he stayed in the background,
yep.
but he met consistently, and he gave rules of engagement that could be executed by those on the deck plate of that ship at the time they needed to act, with assurance that the commander-in-chief had given them permission to do what they had to do. I have to tell you, when you're out there, and I've been through those waters, as you know, Stephanie, mm-hmm. there are moments where you have to make a split decision. I remember going through the Straits of Hormuz, and for the first time ever, an Iranian plane overflew us. My decision, it was given to me to shoot or don't shoot. Is this an act of war after an Iraqi plane just a few years earlier had shot a missile against one of our ships? You have to make split decisions, but if you feel your commander-in-chief has given you the proper rules of engagement, you feel comfortable to execute them. I think he handled it very
yep.
well.
Yep, exactly. That people were saying, oh, he wasn't involved enough. It's like, that's the last thing you want to do is get on TV and inflame the situation
yeah.
with the kind of, you know, bluster and bring it on, smoke them out that George Bush used to give us all the time, right?
Absolutely. And you know I'm a proponent of what Secretary Gates is trying to do of transforming the military now to one that would have the unmanned aircraft that could fly over water, look down, see where the pirates are coming from, and I mean see down thousands of square miles at a time, and link it to small littoral combat ships that Secretary Gates want to procure in greater numbers, rather than some ship that's now costing us $5 billion and is not as ready to do the missions of either ballistic missile defense out there forward deployed or taking care of pirates. I think the Secretary and the President should be in a lot of credit for also trying to properly transform our military to the new threats we're facing.
Congressman Joe Sestak, we love you not only because of your frequent ass-kickings of Sean Hannity, but because you're also the only person that's ever said to me when I was sailing through the Straits of Hormuz in everyday conversation.
Yes.
Thank you, Congressman. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
Have a great day.
You too. There he goes.
He is awesome.
You know, Stephanie, well, I was sailing through the Straits of Hormuz and an Iranian plane flew overhead. You don't hear that every day.
No, you don't.
Hmm.
I really like Congressman Sestak.
I didn't know how to respond to that. I went to Cancun once for spring break. 46.
And at least you didn't get the swine flu.
Exactly. That was a long time ago.
I'm wearing my Royal Caribbean cruise shirt today, so it's kind of like that in a way.
I took my shirt off at Hoosong's Cantina in Ensenada once. All right, 46.
Did you really?
That's a story.
Are there pictures?
That's a story for after the break. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A place where dreams come true.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Just after the top of the hour, Mary Tyler Moore again. We'll be replaying the interview from hour one. Why? Because she's Mary Tyler Moore, for God's sakes.
Right, and that's going to be...
Need you ask?
That's going to be at the bottom of the hour next hour.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's what I said.
Okay.
What?
Huh?
George in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, George. Hello, George. George, going once, going twice. Aaron in West Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie. First of all, I just want to say I live in the land of Limbaugh here. So I found you through the magic of BlackBerry, I guess thanks to John McCain. So
okay, good.
It's great to hear common sense.
Thank you.
Listen, for the, I don't know, I think it's 26% now who think the Republican Party or anything.
21%.
Is it 21%?
Yes.
Now? Okay. Well, you know, I just want them to stop and think that doing nothing is not taking a stance. So all this no that they're doing is not out of any, you know, real stance. It's out of fear. And if they want to visualize it, they just need to think of George Bush sitting there at 9/11 doing nothing for 7 minutes. He
yep.
wasn't taking a stance against anything. He was scared and he was in mental disarray.
Yep.
And that's exactly the Republican Party. So they need to stop and think about those 7 minutes and what it truly looks like to do nothing.
Yep, absolutely. Or to get out ahead of something like President Obama's doing with this swine flu outbreak.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, that's not true to say the Republicans aren't for anything. Senator Susan Collins, who we call Senator Ghostly, because she looks like Alice Ghostly. She's Esmeralda from Bewitched. She's for something. She was for taking the money for flu out of the stimulus.
It doesn't make sense to include $870 million for pandemic flu preparedness. Again, an issue that I care deeply about because of my role on the Homeland Security Committee.
Mm-hmm. Chris in Yankton writes, Steph, oh, Esmeralda, is there nothing you can't make disappear? There goes the money for swine flu pandemic. Bye-bye. Thank you, Senator Ghostly. Oh, Esmeralda. Just when we thought we wouldn't use those sound effects again.
Yeah, I had to dig that one out of the archives.
Jason in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey,
hello.
I just wanted to make a quick comment about, well, two things now, actually. First was the flyover of the Air Force One clone in New York. I was actually down in New York delivering a load when that happened. And it says in big, giant blue letters, United States of America on one side and Air Force One on the other.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, people are a little jumpy. In New York, you know.
I don't blame them.
If that's mm-hmm. So I get what you're saying.
Especially when it was being chased by an F-16.
Yeah.
As if
exactly.
trying to shoot it down.
Yeah.
So,
you know, nobody knew if it was hijacked or whatever.
Which
so.
Pointedly did not happen on September 11th. Huh. Hmm. Four planes go off course and no one responds. Interesting.
Let's have some swine flu fun facts, shall we?
Are they really fun?
No.
There is nothing fun
no,
about swine flu.
No, nothing fun, really.
Okay.
The same, knowledge is fun.
Knowledge is power.
Yes.
Yes.
The same Hong Kong scientists who followed SARS from the moment it emerged as a mystery disease until they had identified its cause warned Monday that swine flu poses an even greater challenge.
Oh, great.
While scientists have studied influenza for many years, the nature of the disease makes it a tough enemy to combat. SARS, you remember,
yes.
Severe acute respiratory syndrome.
I don't remember that it was. That's what it stood
yes.
for.
Patients develop symptoms around the same time they became contagious, but with the flu, a person can spread the infection days before they feel sick enough
Great.
To go to a doctor.
Yes.
Drawing on the past, Hong Kong has already issued travel advisories and stepped up controls at airports, including the use of infrared temperature scans and the detainment of travelers arriving with flu-like symptoms. So this is scary, but at least we're trying to get out ahead of it.
Yeah.
Thank God the world economy's in good shape. As authorities around the world rush to work out where
Slime flu?
That's the Republican kind.
Hey!
Hey, that swine flu will turn up next. The movement of markets Monday was far more predictable for investors already wounded by the global economic crash. News of a potential pandemic came as a further blow. It's just what we need now, a flu pandemic in the midst of the biggest financial crisis since the Great Depression, according to one.
Yeah. Although drug companies' stocks went up yesterday.
Yeah, yes.
I'll bet.
Anyone that owns shares in Tamiflu, for instance,
yeah,
will do very well.
Hey, golly gosh. And
jumping Jiminy.
Jumping
and garters.
Cheese and crackers, Mrs. Those Rumsfeld. How much did we
going
make?
Going up. I just got to be sure to wear a mask and wash my hands when I'm counting my money.
All right, let's...
Land of Goshen.
Land of Goshen, my goodness. All right, torture debate still heating up. Senator Carl Levin, Democrat of Michigan, yesterday.
Look, I think these policies were an abomination. I think the legal opinions were abominable.
By the way, Senator Kit Bond, is, A, first of all, a man named Kit. Second of all, is working my last nerve.
Why? When the enhanced interrogation techniques were used, they were briefed to the chairs and ranking members in both intelligence committees.
Yeah, you know what? We need to. That's why we need to really let this all see the light of day. Because obviously there's dispute against about that. Nancy Pelosi says they were not told that these techniques had been used. So, which I think is pretty key, mm-hmm. if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So John McCain says Cheney is wrong. We shouldn't because they don't know more sunlight. That's good. Let's just move on now is his take on this whole thing. Interesting. We will be back with that tinsel talk and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Mary Tyler Moore coming up on the Celebrity Hotline right after the bottom of the hour. We are replaying the interview from hour one. Why? Because she's Mary Tyler Moore.
Because it was so awesome.
I just want to go on record as saying I think my Mary Tyler Moore impression better than hers. Just saying. Oh, Mary. She doesn't do it right. StephanieMiller.com, the website.
You know what? I just watched Ordinary People again for, I saw it last week, and I'm like, I can't believe how great a performance she turned it.
She's in the liar cannon. That's right. Mary Tyler Moore is that she's one of our liar cannon fodders. I forgot about that. You just think of her as the mayor.
There it is.
Here we go.
The lying, the covering up, I will not stand for it. I can't stand it. I really can't.
She was absolutely devastating in that
role.
That
was for our interview. That was from our interview earlier today.
Yes.
She called me a liar. Anyway, we'll get to the rest of it. You can email us all at the big website, StephanieMiller.com. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller, or associate producer Rebecca Baker.
Hooray!
Who, I just had to hear this story. You went to see John Ashcroft and Alberto Gonzalez last night?
Yes, I did. And I'm very tired and beat down today, and it's not because they beat me.
Hey, joke about torture.
Torture joke.
Sorry. That's funny. Can I have some telling some story music, please? Rebecca, why did you want to go see Alberto Gonzalez and John Ashcroft?
I had nothing better to do. So I just want to put to rest any sort of conspiracies out there that if you work in progressive talk, you know, the man keeps you down. Because when I got there, the man didn't even know about me. I wasn't on the list.
Wow.
I was supposed to be on the list.
You just snuck right in there.
And the lady's like, here you go. Here's a ticket.
That sounds like a long, torturous evening.
Hey! More torture jokes.
You confess up you went because you heard Janet Reno was going, right?
I did. She was the selling point for me.
Yeah.
I really wanted to see her.
And she was a no-show?
No-show.
Hmm.
I love her hair.
Which
And who doesn't?
Which may have been best because you confess you were drunk.
I was. When I got there, I didn't think they'd let me pass security because I'm like, you know, unloading
wobbling.
All my stuff, tripping. Yeah. And so when I get inside, I'm like, where's the liquor at? So I can continue the drunkenness.
Yeah.
And so I got some wine, sat down all by myself.
Uh-huh.
Right in the center. Dan Abrams comes out.
Dreamy Dan Abrams, my future husband?
So dreamy. Hmm. And he introduced first Ashcroft.
Uh-huh.
And when Ashcroft came out, he started making jokes. He was making funnies.
Did he sing?
No.
did he open up with the eagle soaring and whatever it is, his opening number?
Let the eagle soar.
Oh, dear God. No? No singing?
No singing, but some jokes. And then he sat down, and then Dan introduced Gonzalez. And it literally seemed like Gonzalez came out from the shadows. It was so creepy. He was so
he was doing Jim's impression of him.
Totally. And he talked and sounded just like Jim. It was really, really creepy. But basically, the gist that I got from it was that it was like a legacy tour. They were trying to prop up their good names.
Yeah.
And
well, your name can't get any better than Alberto Gonzalez, the torture czar.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And also prop up Bush's legacy.
Oh.
They seem to genuinely feel like they wanted to help the American people after September 11th. Oh. And it was
interesting
seeing them squirm and trying to defend their honor. You just felt bad. Like, I felt really sad for them.
Mm. You have much more empathy than I do. Thank you for that, Rebecca. I would have needed to be even more liquored up. All right. Thank you, honey. That's
sure.
Delightful story. What a...
But Janet Reno wasn't there. That's disappointing.
I think she must have thought to herself, what could be worse than working with Stephanie Miller every morning? I know. I think I'll go listen to Alberto Gonzalez and John Ashcroft for an evening.
I know where she lives, though. It's a shame if something was to happen to Janet Reno. She
Did you hear the door?
My...
Rebecca just ran from the room.
Yeah.
Even Jim's impression creeps her out. All right. Let's see. Jesse in Dubuque, Iowa. You know, lots of reports of the gay marriage doings going on. Let's see. Hi, Mom and the Moose. Gay marriage officially arrived here in Iowa yesterday.
Hooray!
Melissa Keaton and Shelley Wolf were the first same-sex couple married here in Iowa. So far, the sky has not fallen in. There's nothing unusual raining out of the sky, and there are no rampaging hordes of gerbils running around eating everything in sight.
Oh, dude.
Jesse in Dubuque, Iowa. Just... Everything seems to be status quo.
But there are gay locusts.
All right.
But they're tastefully appointed.
In a completely unrelated story, Julie in Seattle with a couple of beaver stack submissions. This one, angry beaver rescued from hole.
Oh.
Oh.
Isn't that kind of redundant?
There are some things firefighters just can't train for, like rescuing beaver stuck in an old 8-foot-deep manhole.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Into a manhole.
Employees at the Lakehead scrap metal found
what?
A large...
Lakehead?
Found a large adult beaver trapped in a manhole early Saturday morning.
In a gay bar in Wrigleyville? What?
And this is kind of a little Beaverstack community calendar from Julie. If you're up in Spokane, Washington, save the dates March 31st and April 21st, 2009, for the Working Beaver Forum. For all y'all.
Support your local Working Beaver.
If you're a Working Beaver.
I thought that was illegal in most.
Spring 2009, a group of individuals have particular interest in and knowledge of beaver will gather in Spokane, Washington, to discuss how to proactively manage beaver to reduce unwanted damage.
Once again...
If it's not managed, it can do a lot of damage, trust me.
Once again, people feel the need to manage their beaver.
Uh-huh. Attendees, including longtime beaver experts... We'll like you.
We love
have
you
a
long time. Yes. Beaver experts. Yeah.
We'll, I think Jim qualifies as one of those.
We'll send Jim on our behalf. We'll like you have a wide range of experience and knowledge. This will allow for useful problem solving and restoration oriented conversations
beaver
about
restoration.
About beaver.
The Akamam is interested in that.
Rejuvenation. Yes. Restoration. Okay. All right.
Oh, boy.
And now something for the fellas. Viagra Rival can be rubbed directly onto the skin.
Woo-hoo.
Woo!
Like what skin? Like directly where it's needed?
Give me some porn music. A new generation of high... That could be a placebo. You don't have to have anything. It would still work.
Yeah.
Just the rubbing, wouldn't it? Sure, I have special magical cream. Here's... Oh, look, it worked! A new generation of anti-impotency drugs that are rubbed into the skin could prove more effective than Viagra research indicates. Scientists.
So your erection might last 8 days?
Hmm. Holy crap.
Scientists in the U.S. have successfully tested the new technique, which involves tiny objects called nanoparticles.
Ironically.
Make it look
particles
bigger.
Larger.
Yeah. Well, maybe it just looks bigger in relation to the nanoparticles. They have tested it on rats. That's some guy's job. What's your job? Oh, I rub stuff on a rat's... Ooh, look.
Wow.
Of the 7 rats treated at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine in New York, 5 showed signs of arousal, according to the results.
Hmm. I guess it depends who's doing the application of the thing.
Does it have to be people with really little fingers?
Maybe they can get Minikiss to do it.
Do they have to get mini band members to do it? What? I would hate to shake hands with one of those scientists at a bar. What do you do? I rub stuff on rat. Ow!
Okay. Your job is to pleasure rat.
That's what I do.
Things.
What's your point? Wow. Okay. All right, Jim, I have another round of guest quote for you today. Who said it's time for the Republican Party to tell former Vice President Dick Cheney to put a sock in it? Here we are, 100 days into the new administration of Barack Obama, and Darth Vader is still wandering around grumbling about why the new administration is all wrong. Nobody's interested anymore, Mr. Vice President. You and your gaggle of miscreants have your shot, and we are in the toilet because of it. Don't you get it? Who said that?
Jabba the Hutt.
No. My future husband, crusty old CNN coot Jack Cafferty,
is
another
like
hilarious posting. Who said, last week you were predicting President Obama's economic policies would have devastating effects in the long term. This from a member of an administration that more than doubled the national debt in 8 years and gave $700 billion to its buddies on Wall Street, no questions asked. You're a little short on credibility when it comes to the economy, don't you think? Who said that?
Boba Fett.
Jack Cafferty. All right, one last one. We are reading about enhanced interrogation memos written by lawyers of the Justice Department that authorize the United States of America to behave like some third-world gang of hoodlums like the Taliban or Al-Qaeda. Who authorized those memos to be written, Mr. Vice President? This country used to stand for something before you and President Bush got your hooks into it. Now our reputation is shot. We're bankrupt. We continue to fight two wars that you started, and the economy is in the worst recession since the Great Depression, and you have the temerity to go around criticizing those who replaced you? How dare you? Please, go quail hunting and leave the rest of us alone. Who said that?
Grand Moff Tarkin.
No, Jack Cafferty, who I love.
What's a Grand Moff Tarkin?
It's a Star Wars character.
Oh, okay.
All right. Let's check some entertainment news, shall we?
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Our top story, Madonna's rich friends working hard to keep Jesus in the United States.
Oh.
From the superficial.com.
I hear Jesus just left Chicago. He's bound for New Orleans.
Jesus is just all right with me. Her friends in the fashion world are working overtime to keep him in the U.S. Marc Jacobs wrote a letter of support for Jesus' work permit to allow him to stay in the country, according to one source.
You need a work permit?
Dolce & Gabbana, fall-winter menswear campaign will feature Jesus. All these fashion lines are hiring Jesus as a favor to Madonna, a source said. As long as he can legally work in the U.S., they can be together. That is so touching.
You know what? I think the only reason she is dating him is because of the name Jesus, so that people will keep talking about them as Madonna and Jesus.
Yes, exactly.
It's publicity.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I talked about their Last Supper. I get it. They just had dinner in New York. So, okay. Who do we have?
Immigration judge at the hearing.
In the case of Jesus Luz versus the INS, whereas the plaintiff is petitioning the court to allow him to remain in the United States on a work permit, and the plaintiff, in support of his argument, claims to be an alien who is indispensable to the function he is being employed to carry out, and furthermore, there is no American who is suitable for the position, we find as follows. Since the position in question is atop the performer Ciccone, and since in the past 30 years that position has been filled by everyone from Warren Beatty to Guy Ritchie to Sandra Bernhardt, the court finds it difficult to give this claim of exclusivity credence. However, there is the consideration that perhaps Senor Luz is working a job no American can or wants to do. He looks dumb enough, and given Miss Ciccone's proclivity for serial debauchery, a recently stringy physique, and who knows, maybe even the vagina dentata, he might have a case. But then the court reflects that Britney Spears, Courtney Love, and even Amy Winehouse are never lacking for tang. We find the petitioner's claim to be without merit. Accordingly, the petition is denied. The court recommends that if Miss Ciccone needs the strange to be young, ripped, and stupid, she haunt the set of Make Me a Supermodel. Buy American, Miss Ciccone. It's the patriotic thing to do. Court's adjourned.
And finally, Michael Jackson taking drastic steps to improve his looks. He's reportedly had hair transplants. He opted for the treatment in a bid to make him feel better about himself and boost his confidence. Because I don't know about you, if you hear one thing about Michael Jackson, it's people saying he needs to have more surgery. I think that if you could just have some sort of cosmetic surgery of some sort. We have Michael.
If I'm going to be in the public eye, I want to look really good. I decided to get hair transplants. Well, not really transplants. I went to the man with the most fabulous hair in the world, Mr. Donald Trump.
Here you go, Mike. Take these ring-tailed lemurs, marmosets, and Peruvian albino ferrets and staple them to your head. If any of those freaks from PETA complain about it, tell them you're fired.
Thank you, Don. There we go. Yeah, not bad. Now all I need is a little tweak to the plastic surgery because nobody knows who Diana Ross is anymore. I want to look like some of the kids are into. Let's see. There we go. I look just like Amy Winehouse. They tried to make me go to rehab. I said, ee-hee-hee. This show is going to be huge.
Now say it like this. Huge.
Huge.
No, huge.
Come on.
Better.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends. Oh, dear God. The celebrity tweeting alert. Celebrity tweeting alert.
Uh-oh.
What is Miley Cyrus tweeting about? We'll tell
what?
You next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
But that just seems intentionally confusing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Dee Dee in Detroit called Senator Ghostly's office, Esmeralda Susan Collins. Hello, Dee Dee.
Hi. I called regarding the quote that you guys were playing, and I was told she didn't say that. And I'm like, I heard her say that. No, she didn't say that. I said, this wasn't somebody in the media just repeating her words.
Right.
I heard her say it.
Yes.
Well, she didn't say it, and it was taken out of context. What she meant is the money shouldn't have been in the stimulus package. And I said, well, then why didn't she say that? Of course, I couldn't really get a word in edgewise because the woman at this point was just talking over me and not listening to me and being extremely rude.
Oh, boy.
Huh. And then she made you disappear. All right. Thank you, Dee Dee. Huh, that's weird. I took her out of context by playing her actual audio.
It doesn't make sense to include $870 million for pandemic flu preparedness.
No. Crazy.
Again, an issue that I care deeply about.
Yes.
Because of my role on the Homeland Security Committee.
I care deeply about making that go away. Okay. Thank you, Senator Ghostly. We appreciate your foresight.
Yeah.
You know what,
as
though?
Does
David Obey from
David
Obey
saying
Wisconsin.
The other day. It is relevant to
stimulus.
Yes.
Because if you shut an entire city down.
Yes, during already a recession, then that might be bad, is what he was saying, you see.
You know, it maybe should be in the general budget rather than the stimulus. You know, I can kind of see where she's coming from there. You know, she wants the funding.
Chris,
she just didn't want it in the stimulus package. She wants it in the real budget.
Chris, and we have important things other than a pandemic to talk about here. We have a celebrity tweeting alert. Celebrity tweeting alert. Miley Cyrus has tweeted, for God's sakes. You can't talk about pandemics when there's celebrity tweets.
Huh.
Hmm. Rumors last week Miley Cyrus and Nick Jonas were rekindling their romance.
I thought she was with that overage.
Yeah, she's with a model musician guy.
Who's over
Justin
the,
Gaston.
Who's over the age of 18, which would make it a felony in some states.
Did he play the candlestick in that animated film, Justin Gaston? Anyway,
what?
She has taken to her Twitter page to assure everyone she is not going back with her ex. She did say, it makes me sad that I think that people out there aren't friends with their exes. Oh, aren't we all?
Also,
she and her just friends.
Ex, also technically known as a statutory rapist.
Yeah. Well, no, the current underwear model that she's dating.
That's the one who's...
Yeah, he's over 18. She is not.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah, there might be a problem there.
Hey, we just found a job for Gary Coleman by accident on the show today.
What?
Well, somebody needs to do those scientific experiments on the, the rub-on on Viagra that they're using on the rats. Because we were saying somebody needs to get that on there. He is, because he's in a movie called Midgets and Mascots, and he's not happy about it.
Well, then why did he do it?
Well, not happy enough not to take the money.
The cash.
It's a shockumentary along the lines of Borat with a dose of Jackass. Let's see, there's short people and sports mascots. Five little people and five mascots compete for $10 million. Gary said, I don't like the title. It's not something to support. I don't want other small people to think I think their use of the word midget is all right. Oh, is that my paycheck? Thank you. All right. 28 minutes after the hour. Back with Mary Tyler Moore next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Last time she was here, she drank too much cherry wine and had a threesome with my parents.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
You did spill wine on
Rachel Maddow's parents, but I deny the three-way. Okay.
You had a three-way with Rachel Maddow's parents?
I did not, and she's a liar if she says so.
That's what she's been saying.
33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, we all know Randy Rhoads is the real whore of progressive talk, and she's going to be back soon. Hallelujah. I just talked to her. I emailed her yesterday.
Did you?
Yes.
All right.
My Laverne is back.
And it's about time.
I'll say, not a moment too soon. She'll be back on air, I believe, May 11th.
Yeah.
Coming soon to these fine stations near you. All right. What the? We have Bill O'Reilly screaming about show trials.
Yes, we do.
Jazz hands.
I don't know if there's jazz hands at show trials. Mm. We'll find out as we get back to the torture debate. You know, Chris, not since they tried to make me the Mary Tyler Moore of the 90s. You remember?
Oh, yeah, they did.
Yeah,
didn't
I think
they?
Somebody pitched that to somebody somewhere. Just one of many dreams that died. But you know what? Dreams can come true. Who is it, Chris?
It's the author of Growing Up Again, Life, Loves, and Oh Yeah, Diabetes, Mary Tyler Moore.
No way! Good morning, Mary Tyler Moore.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm not Mary Tyler Moore, but at least I get to talk to her.
Yeah, hey, how about that?
I was probably one of a billion women that they said, no, really, she's the next Mary Tyler Moore.
Really?
But there's only one.
Oh, thank you. Yes, because I don't think the world could take too much of this niceness that I seem to be afflicted with.
You were absolutely one of my heroes. I just loved I loved everything about you. Everybody wanted to be you.
Oh, God, including me. She was a pretty interesting and charming woman, thanks to the writing of Jim Brooks and Alan Burns, and it's hard to live up to.
I think you brought a little something to the table, Mayor.
Well, I hope so, too.
I think we went so far as to shoot a little thing on the streets of New York. I think I threw my hat in the air and I got tackled and mugged for it. It was a sort of a gritty 90s Mary Tyler Moore they were pitching for me. But
I see. Well, you have to be careful of what people suggest you do.
Yeah, exactly.
Just don't take all those.
Exactly. Let me tell you one of the highlights of my life, besides right now talking to you. I got to play myself on an episode of Diagnosis Murder.
Oh, really?
And, yes, and I got to sit on the set and pester Dick Van Dyke about what it was like to work on the Dick Van Dyke Show with you.
Isn't he just the sweetest guy?
He really is. He didn't call security. He sat there with me. He told me every story about what it was like.
He is a one-of-a-kind person, and I will be forever grateful to him for the way he supported me when I started with him as his wife.
Yeah.
It was terrific.
Just still some of the greatest television. I also was able to pester him with my Mary Tyler Moore imitation. Should we get that out of the way now?
No. Oh, please.
Okay.
Yes, I'd love to hear it.
Oh, Rob!
Oh,
Mr. Grant! Thank you. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you. Great.
I'm putting that in my notebook.
Yeah.
All right. And by the way, I have also pestered Ed Asner with that at various political events here in Los Angeles.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, now, I'm very often asked to do the, Rob, when I speak, and sometimes I give them a bonus. It's
yes.
Mr. Grant.
Listen.
That's pretty good, don't you think?
Yes.
I hate spunk.
I've pestered Ed with that so much, he just, every time he sees me, is like, all right, do the Mary impression, and then I do it, and then we get it out of the way. Now, tell me about the book is, of course, getting amazing reviews. Growing Up Again, Life, Loves, and Oh Yeah, Diabetes.
And it's on the bestseller list and in the top 10 of the New York Times.
Congratulations.
Oh, that's great.
Good.
I love the Publisher's Weekly review. It says, her TV alter ego, Mary Richards, may have been perfect, but it's Moore's imperfections that make her the ideal author of the surprisingly frank memoir. Is it, you know, I know you've been such an activist and an advocate for diabetes research and all that. Was this not uncomfortable personally to share so much?
Not at all. No, I am I'm a very truthful person. Not always very funny, but very truthful. But I think that in our own lives, the good things that we did and the things that we're not so happy about influence people. And the more they know about you, the better. That is assuming that you led a fairly circumspect life.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be so eager to
to do that if I'd not had the support I had growing up. And that's what the book is, really. It's an autobiography about all kinds of things in my life, not only the diabetes, but the show business and the mother and father and all of those impacts.
Well, I mean, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes those intersect. I mean, there's one part about when your vision went out in the middle of a scene with Lynn Redgrave.
Yes, right. And I was on stage at the time. There are all kinds of surprises that you have to be prepared for.
This was in a live show?
It was a stage show that went to Broadway, but at this point we were in an out-of-town. We were up in Boston, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
And they were able to get me to Dr. Aiello, who is one of the major medical contributors in the whole world, and so he was able to treat me, and he got me back on my feet and seeing clearly. But these kinds
of
things
must have been terrifying, though, and plus you can't trust those Redgraves, you know.
But Lynn was so great, and she just put her arm around me and said, "Okay, come on, let's see what we have to do now. Where are you going? What are we going to do?" She's a really good friend.
Yeah, oh no, I've met her. She's lovely. So Mary, when did you first start feeling symptoms, and what was that like? And tell us about treatment.
Well, it was about 40 years ago I was pregnant.
Wow.
I was about 3 or 4 months, and I had a miscarriage, and went into the hospital to take care of that, and they took my blood as a routine measure, and the blood sugar level of a normal healthy person is going to register as anything between 70 and 110. Mine was 750.
Oh, wow.
Yikes.
And they didn't know how I was still alive and walking and breathing and talking. Stayed in the hospital for a couple of days, and they schooled me in what the meaning of diabetes really is when it's you who has it. And the reason I wrote this book was because the editor of one of the top editors at St. Martin's Press has a daughter who's a diabetic and who was going off to college, and she said to him just sort of in an offhand way, "Boy, I wish I had somebody who's done this who could just tell me what it's like and what to expect and so on." She had read every book that exists, all the how-tos, and so he called me, her father, and said, "Would you be interested in taking this on, just writing a book that is not a manual, but just a diary of where you've been and what happened and what effect it has had on you?" So I started out. I just started putting down things that I thought were funny, that were important, that were sad, that were everything I could think of.
Did you? I mean, how did this affect you? I mean, when you had it back as early as the Dick Van Dyke Show?
Actually, it was between the Dick Van Dyke Show and the Mary Show.
But how did it affect you on the set of the Mary Tyler Moore Show? Had you learned to manage it well by that time? Were there a lot of incidents during the filming of that were difficult for you?
Well, there were a lot of things that were not yet regularly achieved. Talking about knowing how much insulin to take and how much exercise to get and balancing all that, what food I was eating. But I have always been I worry about that when I have to kind of person. And right now I'm here to work. Right now I'm doing this scene. Right now I'm doing this scene with Betty White.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of put those things in perspective. If it isn't helping right now, then don't dwell in it.
Yep. You know, isn't that interesting? I'm just thinking as you're talking that, because I know Betty, I've worked with her. I'm a big, animal rights person, like she is, an animal rescue person. And, of course, I've done a lot of, political events out here with Ed Asner. It's interesting you guys have all become activists of some sort.
Well, I think you have to. I think it's a very natural thing when you are relatively intelligent. That doesn't mean you're not also stupid. But anyway, you have a certain amount of knowledge and you want to share it.
Yeah.
And
here's something you may not know. Betty White had me spayed, which I think was probably for the best for everybody.
And you weren't aware of it at the time.
time, right?
No, I was not. She's sneaky. But I would have given anything to be on the set in between takes of that show. That's a bunch of smart, funny people sitting around.
Oh, Lord, it was. It was indeed. And we still are when there is something that gathers us all together again. We fall right into the routines, the psychology that emerged from being together.
Listen, I will pester Ed Asner to within an inch of his life to get invited to that next gathering.
You come pester me.
All right. Mary Tyler Moore is the woman. The book is Growing Up Again, Life, Loves, and Oh Yeah, Diabetes. Mary, really, it was an honor to meet you, truly.
Well, Stephanie, thank you for doing the questioning so artfully. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Okay. Thank you so much, Mary.
Thank you.
All right, good luck. There she goes. Mary Tyler Moore. That's right, you heard me. Mary Tyler Moore, for God's sakes. All right, I was taking a nap during that. We were replaying that.
Yeah.
I'm awake now.
Yeah. She couldn't
And you're going to find out what Tom Cruise is forbidding Katie Holmes to do now.
Oh, no. Something else?
And the latest on what the right is saying about torture as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Unfreaking believable.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes after the hour. I want some friggin' money from Astroglide.
Breaking Astroglide news.
Yes, breaking Astroglide news.
Breaking Astroglide news. Okay, so Mama, I'm tired of us getting ripped off and not getting any scratch for it. I said as a joke that they ought to use Astroglide on the ships to repel pirates. Because
yes.
I said, why can't they just make the ship slipperier so they can't grapple up the sides?
Yes.
I said, let's go lube it up. I threatened to send a flotilla. From West Hollywood with Astroglide to lube up the ships. And now what?
And now, if you follow Astroglide's Twitter feed, which is Astroglide brand.
Yes.
They have posted a comic strip they have put together where they use Astroglide X to ward off pirates. Because apparently you can't use regular Astroglide because it's water soluble.
Mm-hmm.
You have to use their brand Astroglide X.
Oh, interesting. What a good idea.
Hey, we love that they listen. We love
right.
that they listen.
Oh, sure we do. And they sent us a whole box of lube.
You wore your Astroglide shirt to the gym.
I did. That was very popular.
I'm sure you were.
All right.
Especially with the kinds of people that go to our gym.
I've got some Rolling Stones news. Uh-oh. Ronnie Wood is reportedly set to marry his 20-year-old lover.
Mm.
The 61-year-old Rolling Stones guitarist.
What could they possibly have in common?
He left his wife of 23 years to be with a Russian waitress. Before he can marry her, though, he must divorce his wife and protect his $120 million fortune. The Russian waitress recently insisted she's with Ronnie because she loves him and not for his
money. Of course not.
You're lying, sack of crap.
They should talk to Mackie about that.
Oh, could you notify Mary Tyler Moore about what the Russian waitress said? She said, I love him. We're like Lego that just clicks together.
It just clicks together. Lego just clicks.
The money thing is ridiculous. I'm not materialistic.
Don't be ridiculous.
I find it quite fun not to have money. Me too. What's not fun about it? I was out of work for a couple of years. I don't know when I've had more fun. Fun.
The lying, the covering up, I will not stand for it. I can't stand it. I really can't.
Thanks, Mara.
All right, Tom Cruise has banned Katie Holmes from smoking. He is said to be furious.
What, three?
Pardon me?
Oh, Katie. I thought you meant
Suri. Katie. Oh, well. Yes, Suri, I could understand.
Yeah, he's a good parent if he bans Suri from smoking.
Tom leads a very disciplined life and happily encourages Katie to follow Scientology and purification detoxes. He is livid that she has started smoking again and is doing everything he can to pressure her to quit what he calls a filthy habit. It was recently claimed that she underwent a Scientology sparkle.
Sparkle?
Makeover. What? It's a makeover. What? It's a Scientology makeover.
Sparkle, Neely, sparkle!
Is there Scientology flair?
Yeah.
The makeover was Tom and a Church of Scientology leader David Miscavige's idea. David was behind the makeover. Fabulous.
He's been behind many a makeover, from what I understand.
Katie followed the purification rundown, an extreme detox where she had high doses of vitamins and spent 5 hours a day in a sauna.
Wow, 5 hours?
Oh,
that's not healthy.
God. Doctors and homeopaths were called in. Homeopaths were called in to maintain her looks and ensure her skin.
Homeopaths and David Miscavige.
Were called in to maintain her looks and ensure her skin would not break out. A process dubbed the Scientology Sparkle.
5 hours
that
in the sauna.
That sounds fun,
doesn't
it?
Could potentially kill you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, potentially. Yeah,
that's what the character from Valley of the Dolls did before she went into the Valley of the Dolls. Sparkle, Neely, sparkle! That's what happened! Seriously!
And homeopaths love that movie.
Yeah, well, that is true. Many homeopathic
doctors love that movie, I'm told, Valley of the Dolls. All right. You know, they don't go for booze and dope on Broadway, just in case you were wondering. That's why I got drummed out.
Stephanie Miller.
They drummed you right out of Hollywood. So you come crawling back to Broadway. Well, Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope.
Mm-hmm.
Now you get out of my way, because I've got a man waiting for me.
Okay. John McCain says that we need a united nation, not a divided one.
Well, then stop dividing it.
We need to be united in allowing torture and saying that's okay. He said, are you going to prosecute people for giving bad legal advice?
Computer says no.
No, for ordering something illegal.
Yeah.
That's what you would prosecute for. He went on to say that maybe there's an element of, or not. Or maybe
there's an element of settling old political scores here.
Oh.
We need to put this behind us. We need to move forward.
Move on. Don't look back. White House Senior Advisor Valerie Jarrett said, I think the president has been very clear. What he said is we need to be a nation of laws. We need to be consistent. And he leaves it to the attorney general to figure out who should be prosecuted for what. Senator Leahy said, it's not from some idea of vengeance in doing this, but we know that there were a number of people that made the decision to violate our law, a number of people who said we don't have to follow our Constitution, others who wrote memos basically saying the president and the vice president are above the law. Bill Kristol on the...
I agree that if laws are broken, people should be prosecuted. Why then release the memos? That's why we have a Justice Department. They are supposed to look at the behavior of different people and prosecute people. And people have been prosecuted over the last several years for doing things they weren't supposed to do. People who were involved in Abu Ghraib and stuff. Releasing the memos was utterly unjustifiable.
No.
Yeah. Nice try. They're getting a little nervous out there on the right.
Yeah, they are.
Bill O'Reilly getting particularly screechy.
Why are these guys continuing to whip their own country when they know the alleged torture stuff is harming our image all over the world? Well, the reason is quite simple. If show trials for the Bush administration happen, they will marginalize the Republican Party, national security hawks, and conservative thinkers for decades. It doesn't matter how the trials turn out.
Mm.
If they even take place, the far left gets a big win.
I can't wait. Show trials, jazz hands, spear fingers. Okay, Bill?
I don't think we've been attacked since 9/11, you know? I don't think any other Americans are dead. So I don't want a show trial that is going to inevitably make people who defended us make their lives harder. And I'm right and you're wrong.
Oh, well then, Bill O'Reilly has spoken. You're a big dope.
All right, Bernard Goldberg on O'Reilly.
Nancy Pelosi is leading the charge for a truth commission. I don't think that would be a good idea,
truth
but if we're going to have one,
truth
fine.
Is bad, yeah.
Let Nancy Pelosi be the first witness under oath to tell us what she knew and when she knew it.
Okay.
Because she was behind torture?
Yeah, I say let's go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, truth commission's bad because there'd be, truth in it.
I don't think we need a truth commission. I think we should just let the Senate Intelligence Committee and the Department of Justice take care of it.
I agree. Yeah. Hannity. Okay.
This is where this is politicizing our national security and, I believe, making the country less safe. If we're going to release the techniques, which I think is a bad idea, along with four other CIA directors,
everyone knows.
At least tell the American people how these efforts were successful. They're not doing that.
Because
they're
they
only
weren't.
Telling the techniques. They're not saying whether or not it benefited us.
Okay,
because
sure.
They didn't. They had the precise opposite effect.
Yeah. By the by, Bill Clinton says Barack Obama's right to release the torture memos and right to leave the prosecution issues to the attorney general.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what we really need to know now is, what does Fred Thompson think?
I'm going to go home now.
I'm pretty tired. I think I'll go home now.
You know what I thought the funniest part of the story was?
What?
Fred Thompson does a two-hour radio show.
Oh.
Weekdays.
Wow.
Of course he does it.
God.
I can't believe he can even get through that.
I think they have a CD of that for Insomniacs.
That's what Bill O'Reilly did, as we know lazy people who can't do radio do two-hour shows.
That's right. Instead of the standard three-hour show, which gives program directors a one-hour hole in their schedules.
Yeah, but can you stand 3 hours of Fred Thompson?
I can't stand 5 minutes of Fred Thompson.
He says President Obama
is revealing his
naivete, ineptitude, and arrogance as he deals with matters of national security.
Uh-huh.
And then he took a nap.
I'm pretty tired. I think I'll go home now.
I think that's best. That's it for us. I'd like to thank Chris LeMoy, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Baker. See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.